We have multiple announcements this morning, so I'm going to ask those who are making announcements to please make them short and concise. Thanks. Gary.
Morning. First, a quick reminder to all the men, our dinner is this Thursday at the Elm Grove at 6 o'clock. Second, it's a speak now or forever hold your peace. Last day to sign up for the Amherst tickets for next week. We have 53 people so far signed up to go.
Okay. He said he was going to hold my hand while we did this. But all right, so I have two announcements. One is for second hour today, we're going to be making Valentine's Day cards for the people at the Presbyterian home. They really appreciate these cards. These aren't very complicated. It'll take about 10 minutes, so grab a cup of coffee, bring your kids. We'll be making them in the fellowship hall, and Cam Mosgraber will be leading us. Also, I wanted to remind all women that we're having the annual women's retreat. This year it's April 20th through the 22nd. It's at the Renewal Center at Stella Niagara, which is near Niagara Falls, and our theme is soaking in the presence of God, which is appropriate considering our location. And there's a $30 deposit. We ask that everyone sign up by March 11th. Your bulletin says April 1st, but the deadline is actually March 11th. And we need a minimum of 20 women to attend in order for this event to happen. And we currently have, I think, 7 or 8 people signed up. So please sign up. The cost is $120 a person. It's going to be a wonderful time. It's a wonderful location. Thank you.
St. Joseph's, this Saturday, we need food. A little bit more. We're a week late in letting you know about this, so we have one shot. Today is the day that you have to sign up on the sign-up board if you're going to donate food for St. Joseph's. I looked at the sign-up sheet. It was very empty. So that's our big need. We need food donated for St. Joseph's today. It has to be here by Friday afternoon. Thank you.
And I have an opportunity for you. The church school children have done an amazing job of bringing school supplies in for us to take to Jamaica. The suitcases in their classrooms are full. So we would like to encourage you to adopt a suitcase. Now, you don't get to take it to Jamaica. But we will take it for you. And we'll even name it for you if you like. But it does cost us $25 for each suitcase for baggage fees that we take down there. And if your heart so inclines, we would love to have that paid and not have to have that come out of our mission money. So if you're willing to do that, if you'll let me know, or there's a box in my office, you can throw your $25 in, make a check to Gates, or talk to Keith Hadley, and we'll take the school supplies down in your name. So let us now prepare for worship.
Thank you. In this moment, in this place, all is wonder, all is grace. In this moment, in this place, we are one. In this moment, in this place, all is wonder, all is grace. In this moment, in this place, silence waits.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. We have encountered Christ, calling us into community with God and with each other. So we join together to worship God, to respect each other, and to serve the world in bold accord. When we choose to come to God in prayer and confession, God always comes back, forgiving us, loving us. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Restoring Christ, you call us to live as new creations, advocating for justice. But we cling to the security of familiar ways, and injustice survives. Your call is difficult, challenging, and frightening. We confess, O Lord, that your call is hard to follow, and yet it is through your love that creation is made whole, and it is in your life that we find healing, and it is by following you that we will be all that we were created to be. Forgive us, O Lord, and open our hearts to receive your grace. O God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Jesus said to those he healed, as God says to us today, I do choose. I choose to love you. I choose to forgive you. Be made whole again. Praise be to God. Amen.
The children come forward at this time. We're gonna meet over here today. Can we do that? Come over here. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, friends. How are you this morning? Thank you for the hug. Good. Today in the Bible, we get to hear the story about a man who was very, very sick. Have you guys been very, very sick before? Yeah, it's not any fun, is it? You have to stay home, but you know what? You guys are pretty lucky. You might have a mommy or a daddy or a grandma who takes care of you when you're sick, right? Yeah, you're sick right now. Well, I hope you get better. Well, this man, he does not have anyone to take care of him. In fact, all of his family and all of his friends are very mean to him, even though it's not his fault that he's sick. And so he goes to Jesus and asks for something. He says, "Jesus, will you help me feel better? And will you also help all the people be nice to me again?" And Jesus has a choice. He could not make the man feel better. He could send him back out. That would be sad, wouldn't it? But you know, Jesus chooses to show God's love to this man. And did you know that Jesus says that we have a choice too? That when people are sad or sick or they feel really left out, we can choose to show them God's love too. And this morning we have a special opportunity to celebrate with a group from our church that is going to show God's love in the world by going to Jamaica. Pretty cool, huh? That's pretty far away. So we're gonna, can you guys turn around and face the front now? And we're going to celebrate and pray with this group from Gates Presbyterian Church that is choosing to go and show God's love in the world.
I'd like to invite Keith Headley, chairperson of the Youth Committee, to come forward and lead our commission.
I'd like to invite the following people to come forward. Keisha Binko, Ben Scheel, Mary Hadley, Matt Hassenlott, Kayla Millar, Adam Lampfram, Sean Lewis, Beth Oman, Carol Ann Strawbridge, Adam Switzer, Tiffany Switzer, and Carolyn Thornton. This mission team will leave Rochester next Saturday morning, very early, and travel to Negril, Jamaica. This team will be the next group of travelers from Gates Presbyterian Church to participate in our ongoing partnership with the United Church of Jamaica, Negril Charge, and Gates Presbyterian Church. They will continue the discovery of our shared bond in Christ that ignores national borders and cultural differences. Friends, will you step beyond the gate that encloses you into what is familiar and comfortable in order to discover what it means to be global partners and sisters through Christ and to be one part of God's diverse creation? If so, please say, "I will." Will you listen to the stories of the people of Jamaica? And will you share your stories with them so that together you will discern ways in which God is working in this world? If so, please say, "I will." Will you support each other, seeking to live in community in ways that respect and affirm each other, working together in ways that demonstrate Christian cooperation? If so, please say, "I will." Members of this congregation, will you pray for these mission travelers as they seek to serve God in Jamaica? If so, please say, "I will." Let us pray. O God, who calls us to service, we pray for this Jamaica mission team. Keep these participants safe in their travels. Focus them on their purpose. Energize them in their work. Enlighten each one of us as to ways in which we can be your vehicles for peace and justice in the world. Amen. Good luck.
Wonderful group choosing to go and show God's love in the world. And now you all can can go to your Sunday school classes, a reminder to the first graders and also the 3s, 4s, and 5s. You're going to the fusion room today. Have fun.
First reading of the word this morning is from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those going down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
The second reading of the word this morning is from the first chapter in Mark. A leper came to him begging him, and kneeling he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. If you choose, you can make me clean. The leper begged Jesus. If you choose, you can make me clean. I do choose. Be made clean. Jesus responded, touching the leper. Be made clean. We can only imagine the joy and disbelief that this now well man felt. Indeed, the story is wrapped in wonder. Did this unclean man really dare to ask Jesus to make him clean, to restore his health, to reinstate him in society? And did Jesus dare to touch the untouchable and restore him to health and reinstate him to society? What courage! For these are brazen acts of defiance to the social norms of the day. For you see, in those days, lepers lived in poverty on the outskirts of town. By law, they were required to scream the warning cry when they approached people, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" Lepers lived a lonely life, banished from their villages, shunned by their friends, rejected by their families. Religious folks, wealthy folks, poor folks, successful folks, dysfunctional folks, women, men, children, teenagers. Leprosy didn't discriminate, and it often resulted in extreme disfiguration. We come to this story with 21st century medical knowledge. We now know that this illness is caused by a bacterial infection. It's called Hansen's disease, which is only mildly contagious and is quite curable with an antibiotic. Thus, I admit, I feel a little bit guilty when I shake my head in disbelief that sick people were treated so poorly. But if we dare to be honest, we each have our own 21st century leprosy-type fears caused by misinformation. For some of us, it might be fears of migrant workers. Others, dirty, homeless men, gays and lesbians, even liberals, maybe conservatives, and on and on and on and on. Unfortunately,
Fears caused by misunderstandings, misinformation, suspicions, and tapes playing in our heads don't end just because we are sophisticated people with lots of knowledge. In fact, we have to admire this leper who just pushes through all this cultural nonsense and approaches Jesus. No doubt he had heard the rumor. Jesus of Nazareth cured a man having convulsions. Jesus of Nazareth cured a woman with a very high fever. And now that miracle worker is walking down the dusty road toward this leper. Really? What could it hurt for him to ask for help? I still remember hearing this story as a child in my Sunday school class. I remember the picture in what we called our Sunday school courtly. The deformed man was on his knees in front of Jesus, just begging. I remember feeling so sorry for the leper. And I remember feeling so thankful to Jesus for his miracle. And I remember feeling scared that I would get leprosy. And yet I was in the safety of my loving Baptist Sunday school class, just 3 blocks from Duke Hospital. So we understand fear. And I wonder how these villagers felt when this recovered leper walked into town. So I invite you to stretch your imagination just a bit and walk into the village with him. Let's imagine this man coming back into his own hometown as a well man. He no longer had to scream, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." He sees his old friends, Rebecca, Samuel, Isaac, and Andrew. Now, I want to be clear. I'm creating this fictitious scenario for the purpose of helping us to touch the timeless, universal challenges of embracing people who frankly scare us. So just for a minute, let us walk the roads of this village by the Sea of Galilee. In your mind's eye, meet Rebecca. She's busy shopping for her family, olives and dates, lamb and wheat, all are on her list. Her 2 adorable children are by her side. They wait patiently for their mother to get to the bottom of the shopping list. And then suddenly her daughter tugs at her arms. "Mother, mother, is that the man you told us to stay away from? He's coming toward us." "Good day, Rebecca," the well man says. And Rebecca politely responds, "I heard the good news that you are well and clean. I'm so happy for you." As she tells him this, she cautiously chooses to push her 2 children behind her skirt, well out of his reach. And Rebecca thinks to herself, "I'm not afraid of him. I've known him for years. We were childhood friends. But I'm not ready to have my children be near him. Just to be on the safe side, you understand." And the well man continues down the road. "Good day, Samuel," he says. Samuel had been standing next to the doorway of his pottery shop. At one time in life, this man standing in front of him had actually worked in the shop. In fact, he had actually been one of his very best potters. of course. That was before he got leprosy. Oh dear, Samuel thought. What if this man wants his job back? Of course, it wouldn't bother me. But what about my customers? I have to think about my customers. I certainly don't want them disappearing on me. After all, it's my only livelihood. So Samuel chooses to slip back into his shop, pretending not to see, not to hear this his former employee. Well, then the well man sees his next friend. Good day, Isaac. Isaac is about to enter the local synagogue. He remembers worshiping with this man in the same synagogue years ago. Really? Isaac thinks to himself. That man has always caused trouble. No wonder he was struck with leprosy. No doubt he brought it on himself. Okay, so the stranger came to town and declared him clean. Really? I don't believe it. People don't change. Everyone knows that. Isaac looks at the ground and chooses to mutter under his breath, "Sinner!" as the well man passes by him. "Good day, Andrew," he tries again. Like the others, Andrew recognized him. He used to live next door to him. Well, that was before his misfortune. Well, in these last years, Andrew had always felt so sad when he heard his former neighbor screaming, "Unclean, unclean." Could it really be true that he is well again? Well, that was the word on the street. Andrew so hoped it was true. Through the years, he had left a little food by the village gate for him, and he always, always prayed for him. And now, he was standing in front of him, no longer screaming, "Unclean." It took some courage, but Andrew chooses to wrap his arms around him and very quietly whispers in his ear, "Welcome home, neighbor." Rebecca, Samuel, Isaac, and Andrew, all making different choices for different reasons. Where are we in this village? My guess is there's a little bit of all four villagers in each of us. We understand the need to protect our families. We understand the need to secure our financial future. And we understand how easy it is to trap someone in their past, refusing to acknowledge the change within them. But we have also all experienced the pure joy of welcoming God's people in our lives. Yes? There are a million and one reasons to avoid doing it. Life really is complicated and complex, and there are rarely clear and simple choices. Yet when we step back into the biblical story, we're struck with amazement. But Jesus just doesn't let all the complications get in the way. The what ifs are just not part of his decision-making process. If you choose, you can make me clean. I do choose. Be made clean, Jesus said. Let us also make the difficult but courageous choices that bring wholeness and health to God's people. Let us be willing to dare, willing to trust, and willing to step beyond the what if. Amen.
Stuart, I've got two concerns and a reason to be thankful. First, for the thankful. My wife has put up with me for 40 years as of today. Thank you. Our son, John, is going to be leaving for Afghanistan on Wednesday. Wednesday evening, it'll be tough for Sheila. We are going to go down and spend some time with him, but please be praying for his safety. He's supposed to be there in 90 days. Many of you have heard also that the Way family had a tragedy. They just moved to their retirement home in New Hampshire. They had a fire. It destroyed easily half the structure, smoke and water damage to the remaining structure. So they're in a bit of a bind. So be praying for the Ways.
Jan Buettner, I also ask for prayers for Marcia and Sandy. It's just been a tragic thing for them. And I also ask prayers for my friend Nancy, who had two valve replacements done over a year ago and is still trying to come back from that and is not doing really well. And I saw her the other day and was I just ask for prayers for her. Thanks.
Jeff Cheel. It's kind of hard to say. My children's mother Lori, age 45, passed away suddenly on Friday. And I pray for her. I ask you to pray for her soul. And I ask you to pray for Jen and Ben as they deal with this horrible tragedy.
Joanne Vander, I got a call last night from Don Plummer. Don and Pearl have been members of this church for a long time. Pearl has been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks and had major surgery and is having a very hard time coming back. She doesn't want to even live right now, so we need the prayers for encouraging her. Yes, they are. They're in Arizona. We'll be back here if she's better in the beginning of March.
Tracy Berkovich, a couple of prayers for sports injuries. I don't know if many of you heard, a 12-year-old from Brighton passed away after a lacrosse injury at TSE. So prayers for their family as they continue to deal with that. And a Gates Child Life family, a girl on the varsity team was taken by ambulance Friday night after their game with concussion-like symptoms. She's doing well, but again, just the importance of safety through all the sports and everything that our kids undertake.
Cheryl Fennell, prayers for my Uncle Pete, who's in the hospital suffering with a lot of back pain. And also, it's been a real stressful week, but I think I'm on the other side. I've had a lot of eye issues in the last year and a half, and I had another vitreous detachment this week in my left eye, but the retina seems intact, and I just pray for continued healing.
Ellen Priestley, please pray for a man whose name is Jeff Furman, who is a pastor in this area, and one of our former senior highs, which put me very much in mind of him today. He is in hospice with cancer.
All those who celebrated life with Richard Miller, his memorial service will be today here at 2 p.m.
Well, hello, Bill Wallens here. It's great to be back, and we just wanted to say that thank you probably is an underwhelming statement for how we feel. It's been wonderful to receive all of your cards and emails and phone calls, and we're doing well, and we just ask you to keep us in our prayers as we kick on down the road to chemo and radiation, and things are going really well, and we really do believe it's the collective love and prayers from this congregation have really held us up, and we thank you for that.
And I have prayers for my church school children. Prayers for our grandma, whose hand is in pain. Prayers of thanksgiving for really cool TV shows. Prayers of joy for a great uncle. Prayers that we go to the same Chinese restaurant that we went to before. Prayers for safe driving in the snow. Prayers for safety in our homes. Prayers for accomplishing all the travel arrangements for my family's trip to India. Prayers for repainting, prayers of joy for repainting my room.
Friends in Christ, God knows our needs before we ask, and in our asking prepares us to receive the gift of grace. Let us open our lives with God's healing presence among us, working through us, even though we might not understand it. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you come into the chill of our existence and bring the warmth of your presence. Come into the routine of our church, O God, into the familiar nature of our relationships. Bring the joy of good friends, the assurance that there are those on whom we can rely. Come into our habitual ways, O God, into the groove of our family and daily lives. Bring the inspiration of fresh challenges, the satisfaction of caring for our loved ones faithfully. O God, we rejoice that Jesus, the way, goes ahead of us. He who is the pattern of our faith community, the direction of our future. God, we do rejoice that Jesus, the compassionate one, goes with us, calling us to acts of caring, showing us how much can be achieved if we work together. And we ask for prayers with the Jamaica Mission Team on their journey. May they choose to recognize your creation that is broken and hurting by injustice and intolerance, and extend healing hands of compassion through work and service. We lift up to you our prayers for one another, this community, our schools, places of work and service, for our country and for our world. God, we pray for the Chiel family, for the Ways, continued prayers for the Wallinses and Webers and the Westfalls. God, we also pray for our brothers and sisters in faith at Third Presbyterian Church as they care for the family of the young boy from Brighton who died this week. We also pray for the leaders of the Presbyterian Church as congregations and presbyteries struggle with what it means to be faithful in a time of radical change. For the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, our Presbyterian leader, the Reverend Amy Fowler, and for the staff there. God, we pray for our nation that fails over and over again to recognize the effects of broken community, where too many are cast out, ignored, and devalued. Give us the strength and the courage to reach out and work together for the reconciliation of the world. God, we offer these prayers and all those that remain in the silence of our hearts, audible only to you, O God, in the name of your Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And it is with open hands and open hearts that we receive and celebrate the blessings of our God and offer them back in thanksgiving.
loving and faithful God, help us to use these generous gifts to heal this world and to make it clean. Bless these wonderful gifts so that others can feel your bountiful and merciful love. Amen.
To the world, choosing health and wholeness for all of God's people. And let us do so knowing that we go with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.